Whoop! Am I on? Oh, good grief. Please tell me that I wasn't on when I went to the restroom. They should never put a microphone on me that doesn't leave me. Okay. I had it turned off. This is not a roll of tape. This is not a roll of tape. This is not a roll of duct tape. I want to share this with you because every year we do an Encouragement Cafe retreat. And we invite all of the 150 plus women that are on our team across the country to come to Myrtle Beach. It's a dirty job, but somebody's got to do the good stuff for Jesus. So they all came, and one girl came for the first time last year, but she's been writing for us for a while. I met her several years ago at a Proverbs 31 event, and Micah Campbell came over to me, and she said, Luann, you've got to meet this girl. She's got such an amazing testimony, an amazing story. And she was very stiff, very non-smiling. And I ended up having her on my radio show to talk about what she's been through. And what she's been through was her parents were both drug addicts. And they were in Florida. And to make money so they could have their drugs, they would sell her. And it was through her high school, somebody, the counselor in her high school was a Christian and invited her to come to her church with her. And Savannah was a cutter because she never felt like she was worthy. She never felt like she was any good. And so this counselor in high school just had the domino effect. She asked her to come to church. And through a series of years of going with this family, who then ended up just kind of taking her in and giving her a place to be safe. And over the years, she has absolutely dedicated her life to letting people know that there is change and this is happening in our streets and in our homes, in our communities. But Savannah really had this side to her where she still had a hard time smiling or laughing or anything. So last year, I had this game that I played with everybody. Everybody was in there, and I had this conversation jar, and I was asking questions. They could pull out a question, and then they answered it. Well, I forgot that I didn't take all the questions out of there that I had used for a time when there was, you know, a time for some older women that were in a group that I had done and some young kids. And so when it got around to Savannah, she pulls it out and it says, how are you handling menopause? And she's like 26. and she pulled it out and she started laughing. And I've never seen Savannah laugh. In the years I've known her, I've never seen her laugh. And she was like, what? Luann, did you put this in here on purpose? And I went over, and Savannah's a very large girl, but she's sitting on this chair, and I just went over, and I bumped her with my, and I was like, hey, girl, and she went tumbling out of the chair, and I was like, oh my gosh, Savannah, are you all right? And I got down on the floor with her, and we both giggled so hard we almost peed our pants. And everybody in the whole place was laughing. And from that moment on, Savannah could laugh and giggle. And she said, I haven't laughed. I don't remember the last time I've ever laughed. And so that year we also painted. Noelle is one of our stage artists. And she had us all painting these beautiful circles because God was really clearly saying that all of us are connected. All of us. I even met somebody here that lives in the town where Encouragement Cafe is. How crazy is that? We're all connected. And so God's saying, you know, we are one big circle and we are supposed to do this thing called life together. So we're making all these circles And all these girls had so many beautiful, different, colorful circles. And I jumped up and I said, oh, you guys, everybody take a picture of your circle. And they were like, I don't like my circle. I don't want to take a picture of my circle. I messed it up. I don't want to. And I said, stop it. I want a picture. And Savannah said, why do you want a picture of our circles? I said, because I'm going to go home and put them on my refrigerator. I never thought about it. And about an hour later, she walked over and she's standing in line to talk to me. She waited very patiently, waited until everybody was done. And then she said, what you said about putting my circle on your refrigerator? Nobody's ever put anything of mine on a refrigerator. And I lost it. I lost it. And I said, baby, you are so precious to God. I want to put everything you ever make on my refrigerator. You are my sweet girl, and I love you dearly. And so this year, I brought this roll of tape to the retreat. And I said, this is not a roll of tape. It's something else. And if I had to hand it to you, what would you say it is? And all my girls came up with something so incredibly unique. Not one person said the same thing. Some of them said, well, it's a wheel that takes me to the next thing, or it's a colorful rainbow. Or, I mean, there were so many unique things that were said about this crazy little roll of duct tape that really isn't a roll of tape. And I tell you that today because I want you to hear that you are uniquely made, and God shows you different things than He shows other people. And so I want you to look at this. Thank you, Janelle, for blowing this up for me. Bless your sweetheart. Okay, so I am going to ask this group right here, tell me the colors that you see starting at the right and going to the left, just the ones you see. Okay, and you tell me which ones you see. Okay, and y'all can just do this together. And which ones do you see? Now, when we're doing life, we can see so clearly our red, white, and blue. And you can see so clearly your yellow, white, and red. And you can see so clearly your blue, white, and yellow. But you have no idea what's going on over here. And you have no way of knowing what God's doing on the other side of that circle. You have no way of understanding His big plan. You know, I know that you've heard before that God's got this big tapestry. And back years ago when we first started Encouragement Cafe, I told Betty was an artist that I had met, and I called her and I said, Betty, I think that women are asking to come by the cafe because we make it sound like you're in a coffee shop. You've got the sound of the espresso machine and the little music playing, and we're sitting there and we're like, welcome to Encouragement Cafe. Today we're talking about whatever. And the women were like, I want to come by the cafe. Can I come by the cafe? So I said, they think it's real. So we need to create a way for them to come. So would you come? And Betty had painted something. And the way I met Betty was I was speaking in Destin, Florida. And Wendy was the organizer, kind of like Phyllis. She was the organizer of that event. And she came up to me and she was like, Martha, 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 you know. Busy, busy, busy with the details, you know. Just blah, blah. And she was like, oh, I hate door prizes. Everybody's always yelling about, well, you can't have one on marriage because not everybody's married. You can't have one on kids because you might hurt somebody's feelings if they have been trying to have kids and they can't have kids. You know, so she was just worried about what she was going to give in door prizes. And I said, no. You tell them if they get a book or something that's not for them, God gave it to them to give away. God's going to give them somebody in their life that needs that. So it's not always for you. God gives us things to give away. So she gets up after lunch and she said, she's asking me, Luann, do you want to use this painting? And I said, oh, that'd be great. And it's a picture of God's hand and this pearl in the middle of the hand. And it's kind of touching the waves on the sand. And I said, oh, yeah, Destin, yeah, I could definitely use that. And she said, well, I said, I'm thinking that she's giving me the painting. And she's like, do you want this? And I said, oh, really? Thank you. Yes. And she went, well, I didn't mean to keep. I said, oh, I'm sorry. Whose is it? And she said, mine. I said, oh, okay. No, no, no. I would be glad to use it. And you can have it back. No problem. Well, she got up and she said, well, I took Luann Prater to lunch today. And she didn't know she was taking me to lunch. She told me that God gives us things to give away. What she didn't know is that God had been working on me to get rid of the word mine. All year long, God said, Wendy, lose the word mine. Everything you have belongs to me, God was telling her. And she said, so Luann, here's the painting. Well, at that point, I feel a little bit guilty again. And I was like, no, no, no. And she's like, no, God clearly told me that I'm supposed to give this to you. So then there's a little girl that's playing the violin in the worship band, and she had just played Amazing Grace. And she just made it sing. And she steps to the microphone, and she said, I want to tell you guys, I'm in college. And my dad left us my senior year on Christmas Day and told me that I would never amount to anything. And I've been here this weekend, and you guys have really made me know that I am valued and I am loved. And I just wanted to thank you. Usually I hide behind my violin, but I just wanted to tell you thank you. So then we do music, and they introduce me to come and speak. And I said, well, girls, I don't know about you, but I can't think of any place that this picture needs to be except in a college dorm room, hanging in her room so that she knows that she is valued and she's a precious pearl. So because of that, Betty gave the picture to Wendy. Wendy gave the picture to me. I gave the picture to, good grief, her name just left me, Elsie. And so we're showing this, and she says, I want to get a picture of all of that. So we get a picture of the progression of the painting, and then when we decide to do these events, these live events, I remembered Betty, and I just briefly met her, and I said, Betty, I called her and said, I want to do this thing where we have a painting that is two-dimensional, and as I talk about the highlights and the valleys of our life, I want you to make it come to life. I want you to put the dark in and the light in. And I want them to see that God brings everything into his masterpiece, his story. And so she did. And when I think about you today, I think about all the stories I've already heard. So many stories of brokenness. So many stories of you living in the shadows. And I don't know about you, but on God's tapestry, I'm kind of like the dangling thread down here at the bottom. And I don't know where you see yourself in God's big picture, in his masterpiece, but you're part of his story. And sometimes maybe you're the highlight, but some of you are really struggling with saying, no, I hear what you're saying, but I can't buy it for me. I don't believe that I really can let go of it and be free of all that past junk. So today we're going to talk about how to get into this thing that God wants us to get into right now, and that's reflecting on him. I want you to turn with me if you've got your Bibles. Oh, first of all, because I do love to put things on my refrigerator, let's do a selfie. Everybody lean in. Lean in. Okay, here we go. Okay, this is going to be interesting. I'm going to have to do it several different ways. Okay, here we go. There we go. Selfie and selfie and selfie. All right, now you guys will be on my refrigerator. I love to do that. I go home and my husband never knows what's going to end up on our refrigerator. The way that you get into what God wants you to do with your story is to stay focused. Stay focused on what He wants you to do with your story. And a lot of times, you know, you really don't know where to start. And so I'm just going to open up the scripture today and we're going to read Proverbs 3:3-6. And it says, "Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart." I want to stop right there for a minute because I know that some of you jot down and you believe in journaling and you write down everything, and others think that you're just going to remember it. Okay, how many in here love to journal? How many in here would get nauseous thinking about writing anything down? I was right there with you. I was that person. I didn't really want to tell all of my story. I didn't really want to share a lot of things. But here's what happens. When you start writing down the God moments in your life, and you start writing down His promises, and you start writing down when He answers prayer, then all of a sudden you start getting a collection of good. And the world is going to keep throwing negatives at you. The world is going to always pour into you and say, "You're no good. Who do you think you are?" Do you think that Satan, that I'm immune from that? I can't tell you how many times just last year I was like, "I don't know why I'm doing this. I don't know why I'm doing this. Why did God pick me?" Those are things that come into my mind just like they do you. But here's that same verse that captured my attention. 2 Corinthians 10:5. "Take captive these thoughts, Lord. Hold them obedient to you." Because when I allow my mind to start meditating on the bad, I go into a little downward spiral, and so do you. Savannah was suffering from that. She could not believe that she was valuable. And for years, her parents proved it. And this year, I told the story at our retreat about you were so worth it that God gave His only Son to come, and if you were the only person on the earth, He would have come and He would have died for you because you are priceless. You are His priceless pearl. And Savannah came up to me, tears streaming, and she said, "You know what? My entire life, I've always thought I was worth $10 because that's what they would sell me for." So when you are thinking about all the wonderful things that God has done and is doing and who He is, and you write them down and you bind them around your neck and you say, "I don't want to forget this. This says, let love and faithfulness never leave you." Now, I don't know about you, but there are times when I walk around in the world and I don't have my sword with me. And I get attacked. And people that I love will say things to me that could pierce me. But because I've hidden His word in my heart, and because I've written down the promises, and I've written down the answers to prayer, and I've written down all the blessings in my life, immediately I can say, "Lord, take captive these thoughts and remind me of Your goodness. Lord, help me to see in this moment that Your love does not depend on what these people are saying. I don't have to feel it." And as girls, We like to feel everything, don't we? I just don't feel like praying today. I just don't feel like reading the Bible today. I just don't feel like it. Do it anyway. You don't have to feel like it. And it doesn't matter if you feel like you've got God in your heart. If you have asked Him to take control and you've said, Lord, I believe that You are the risen Christ, that You died on a cross for me, and that You are coming again someday to take me to heaven. I believe that. Help me in my unbelief. Help me when I am struggling. If you have asked God to come into your heart and take up residency there, He's there. And it doesn't matter how you feel about it. You got to get over thinking that I don't feel it. It is a fact. So believe it. And when you write it down, when you write down His promises, when you write down, then you can reflect on who Jesus is and what He did for you and me and what He's going to do for your children and your friends. And don't give up. Keep believing. My nephew was raised by my sister. My sister had two boys, and my parents, like I said, were so in the church. My sister was a bigger rebel than I was, and she ran from everything, and she never had her boys in church, ever. Unless they went with Grandma and Grandpa once in a while. They never really knew about God. They didn't really know the Bible stories, except what they heard from us. And one day I was speaking in Michigan, and I'm driving through Indiana, and God's like, take a detour about 3 hours out of your way and go see Clint, my, at that time, 32-year-old nephew. And I'm like, you see that I'm on a straight route to Michigan. I got to be there to speak. Go take a detour and go see Clint. And I'm like, okie dokie, here we go. So I drive over and I go up to his door, knock on the door, and I said, hey, buddy, how are you? And he was like, oh, my goodness, thank you, God. Thank you, God. And I said, what? He said, Aunt Lou, I got baptized last week. The whole family is going to church now. We're all going to church. We're saved. And I'm going to get to see Grandpa someday. Like, he watched my dad go through agony that last year. And my dad invited every one of the members of our family to meet him in heaven someday. And that impact was forever on my nephew. And I didn't even know that that was happening, but he said, I've been praying, God, can you just send somebody from my family who knows you so I can tell them? And here you are, standing at the front door. How amazing is that? And he said, you know what's weird, Aunt Lou? I can't stop talking about it. I mean, I'm telling everybody at work, they kind of think I'm nuts, but I can't stop talking about it. It's so great. When we start reflecting and we start writing down, we start telling people our story of what God is doing. And I wrote that down about Clint and how God specifically handpicked that moment for me to go to Michigan so that I could do that and be there so I could be here and tell you, even when you're on your deathbed, don't give up on your family who doesn't know Jesus. You invite them to meet you in heaven someday. My dad did that. So it says, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. I've had a lot of girls this weekend already saying, I don't know what God wants. I don't know what God wants. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Have you noticed a theme this weekend? If we trust Him and we say, God, I'm going to write down every good thing. I'm going to write down all your promises. I'm going to learn how to study your scripture on my own. Because you can come to this, but in your everyday life, you need to know how to get into the Word yourself. And so I want to just tell you something that maybe it will help you. Three things. I want you to write these down. When you go to God's Word, and God is calling you maybe to John, like He did me, and walks you through the book of John, or if you are really sad and lonely and depressed, maybe He's going to walk you through Philippians, because Philippians is the book of joy. Whatever scripture you go to, I want you to do these three things. Write down the passage that you just read. If it's this one, Proverbs 3, 3 through 6. And when you read it, I want you to ask this question. What are the facts in this passage? That's your question number one. What are the facts? Question number two is, what is the lesson in this passage? What is the lesson? And number three is, what does God want me to learn from this lesson? God's Word is alive, and it is constantly doing something new. Every single time I read the Bible, He pulls out a little nugget that I never noticed before. Have you done that? Have you experienced that? If you experienced that, write it down. Because in those dry moments when you feel like your prayers are hitting the ceiling, you can go back, and I urge you to keep a notebook. Just get some of those composition notebooks, cheap. You can buy them at, you know, Walmart after the school things go out for like 8 or 10 cents. Buy a bunch of them, spiral bound, and write on the outside of it the date. Today's date, March 11th, 2017. And then inside, write the passage. And then write question number one, question number two, and question number three. What are those answers? What's the fact? What's the fact right here? Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. So that means that it's up to me. I mean, that's an action step that God is saying, this is up to you. So God right here, I could just take that one verse and I could have a whole session on just that one verse. Because He's saying, bind them around your neck. So that's something you have to do. You know, God can give you the words in the Bible, and He can say, here it is. We're so blessed to have this Bible. But unless we get into it and we learn that the love and faithfulness is there for me every day, unless I write them on a tablet and I memorize His Word and I know those promises for myself, then it won't ever get any farther than that. Write it down. And then at the end of that notebook, I want you to date the very back cover of it. And then just start keeping those. And you'll start getting a collection. I have a file cabinet full of those. So I can pull out at any time whatever God's wanting me to remember. How does He want me to remember what He's done? Because honestly, I would never have remembered some of the things I've already shared with you had I not written them down. And when I'm called to go speak somewhere, I can refresh my memory and go, oh yeah, that would be a story that would fit so perfectly with their theme this weekend. And girls, you may never be a speaker, you may never be a writer, but you are called to know the story that God has in your life. And He's saying, declare me to the people around you. Let people know that there is love and faithfulness found in me. So journaling illuminates, and we ask God to fill in the gaps for us when we say, God, what is it that You're wanting me to learn from this lesson? Because when God takes you to Scripture, there's always something that He gets my heart and says, okay, this one's for you, Luann. And you may not realize that you've been running at 80 miles an hour and you haven't really stopped lately to just spend some time with me. You haven't written any new things down. So stop going back to the old and start getting some fresh stuff. God convicts me just the same as he does you. He reminds me to do those things, because when we get fresh in God's word, he pours out that living water in us and through us. But if we're dry, then we can't possibly pour out to others if we have nothing in us. You know, if you have a glass of water and somebody bumps up against you and it spills, whose fault is that? Why did the water spill? Why did the water spill? Is it because somebody bumped into your happy? Is it because your circumstances all around you made you spill the water? Is it somebody else's fault that they bumped you and the water fell out of the glass? Or is it the reason the water came out of the glass is because it was water that was in the glass? And so my question is, what are you putting in you? Because when somebody bumps into you and when circumstances make you out of kilter, what's spilling out? Is it God's living water that you've poured in as you've been writing down his promises, as you've been listening to him speak to you through his word? Or is it the lies of Satan? Is it what the world has said about you? Is that what you're pouring in? Because when you get bumped, that's what's going to come out. That's what's going to spill out. So today what I want to do something that could get a little crazy. Okay? You just have to bear with me. Up here on the step, I brought some names of God. And I want you in a minute, not now, don't rush the stage, but I want every single one of you at some, we'll flow this along nicely, so cooperate, girls. When that time comes, you're going to walk by and you're going to zero in on a name of God. And I want you to write it on your paper that I gave you. Write that name of God. There's a couple of passages of scripture on each one of them. Because today, God has a name for you. And I'll share some with you. Jehovah Shalom, Sabaoth, Jehovah Rohi, Jehovah Rapha. There's a lot of different names of God. And today, he has a special name that he's chosen just for you. And I think you'll know it when you see it. And I want you to jot it down, jot down the scriptures, and then I want you to do those three things that I just told you to do. Because really, if you leave here this weekend and you don't know how to dig into the word yourself, and you don't know how to find those promises for you, then this was just a good time. And it wasn't life-altering. And God wants to do something new in you, and he wants to teach you how to not only reflect his glory, but he wants to teach you how to tell your story. You know, my dad could not stay quiet. My nephew could not stay quiet. I cannot stay quiet. And you have a story to tell. There's something amazing that's happening in you and through you. And God wants to get the victory. And here's a real truth. The first time you tell it, it's going to feel awkward. And you're going to be embarrassed. I told you that my pastor said, oh, now you're going to be telling this story. And I was like, no. He pulled a few girls together at my church and said, Luann wants to tell you a story. And I was like, no, I don't. No, I don't. And there was maybe 15 girls there. And I remember I had the driest mouth. I couldn't say two sentences without tripping over my tongue. I was just a nervous wreck. But they loved me through it. And they told me that it was really impactful. And so then the next time it was a little bit bigger group, but different girls. And then one of the coolest things ever, one of my best friends in life, been friends for almost 40 years. She was raised Catholic and she lives in Indiana. And I was working on this Woman at the Well story. And I said, called her and I said, "Hey, Kathy, I would really love to try this out. I'm on my way through Indiana, going somewhere else to speak, but I'd like to try it out on some people that love me before I actually do it. So would you, I know you have a little small group of girls that you get together and do fun things with. Would you mind inviting them to your house and just let me talk about that?" She said, "I'd love it, I'd love it." So by the time I drove from North Carolina to Indiana, she had called her two sisters, who also had small group of girls, and those small groups of girls invited their friends. And by the time I got to Indiana, there were over 100 women. And they said, "We outgrew our house, so we're going to go to the Catholic Church." I was like, oh my word. So I am standing up at the front, and I'm telling this story about the woman at the well and how that was me. And a friend of mine, a neighbor, had made a cross for me that I could carry in the car with me. And I had brought nails and a hammer and some cards. And at the end, I told them, you know, it doesn't matter if you're Jew or Samaritan. It doesn't matter if you're Protestant or Catholic. God wants you to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I want to give you that opportunity tonight. And every single girl came forward. Every single girl gave her heart to Christ that night. And they nailed their sin to the cross. And then the priest came down, tears streaming, and nailed his sins to the cross. You never know what God is going to do with your little bit of obedience. Never in my wildest dreams did I ever imagine that that would happen. But when you say, "God, you've done a work in me, and there's a story that you want to tell through me," and you may never see the perspective of someone else. You may look at this and you say, "I don't see what you're doing, God." And he says, "That's okay. You don't have to see the whole picture. Just trust me. You don't have to know everything that I'm up to. Just trust me. I've got something so important to do." So today, what I want to do first, now this is going to get a little nutty. I just know it because Darlene was like, "Is that going to flow? Is that going to work?" And I'm like, "I don't know. We'll see." So I want, now you guys will have to do this kind of quietly and under your breath. But this whole section right here, I want you to just go one, look at me, just right here. I want you to go one, two, one, two, one, two, one, two, all the way back. And you guys keep track. Whether you're a one or a two, when it gets to the back, I don't want you to go, "Which one was I?" So, okay, you're one, go. Okay, so you're one, two, and you keep going. Okay, you're one, two, and you keep going all the way back. And you're one, two, and you keep going all the way back. Until we get to the back, I'll stand here and go, da, 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 da. There's a reason I'm doing this. Everybody, trust the process. Did anybody get that last night? Trust the process. Are we all the way to the back? When you're in the back row, raise your hand if you've decided if you're a one or a two. Give girls just a simple little task, and we'll complicate it. We'll go like, "I really like to count to five. What about you?" Raise your hand when it gets to the back. This is so funny. Look at you. You did it! Woohoo! Okay, is this one done? This is so hilarious. It's 1, 2. Anybody else? We have one section that completed this. One, two, very simple. Yay! Yoo-hoo! All right, middle sections. Bring it, man, bring it. All right, ready? Come on. You're done back here? Good. Over here, did you make it all the way to the back? Everybody's got a one or a two, correct? All right, so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask Naomi to bring some kind of music up here, and then when we're done with this, Darlene will have something to say. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to start this and start walking the whole section. It's going to come, and you just start walking. Don't get bogged down. Just kind of grab one. Have your pencil and paper ready. Grab a name. And look at it, write the name down, write one of the scriptures, and then, this is important, so we're going to start over here, and then we'll start with you, and then we'll start with you right here. After that section gets done, we'll start with you, and then we'll start with you. And so everybody's going to file through. Now, this is the important part, okay? Everybody right here, stop talking, look at me. Right here, focus. That's what this whole section's about today. Stay focused on God's Word. Okay, so when we're done, I want all my ones to line up on that wall as best as you can. All my twos line up over there along that wall somehow, okay? So you, all my ones over here, all my twos over there. When you're done getting the name of God and writing the scripture down, got it? Is that too much detail to deal with? Okay, listen, all the chatter's starting. Okay, as soon as the music starts,
I just want to say that we're going to sing Alpha and Omega because God is the author of your faith. God is the finisher of your faith. He is the first and the last, and He's the beginning and the ending of your story. Alpha and Omega.
You are Alpha.
Okay. One name. Come on. Come on past. If they're at this one, if they're stopped, come on past. There's lots of names to choose from.